Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've always found this story about the rich young man in our gospel reading this morning to be a bit strange. It appears in all three of our synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which I take to mean that it's not only important, but it's also rather significant. In fact, so significant that all three of these gospel writers would include it in their account of Jesus' life and ministry. It teaches us some important lessons about faith and life and salvation and worldly wealth and such. But it also teaches us something very interesting about Jesus and about the kingdom of God. I've always found this story to be a bit strange and perplexing because Jesus let the man walk away sad. He let the man carry on with his daily life without giving to him the gift of eternal life, that which he came to Jesus seeking. And it wasn't like this guy was a bad guy. He wasn't like the haughty chief priests or the hypocritical Pharisees. For all intents and purposes, this was a good man. He legitimately tried to keep God's law and legitimately wanted to know how to attain to eternal life. His question to Jesus was not meant to test him or to see if he could trip Jesus up. His question to Jesus was meant to help him know how fully he could please God so that he could then attain to life everlasting. In fact, so sincere was his question to Jesus that Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He saw in this man a genuine desire to please God. But Jesus still let this man walk away unsaved. Why? Why would Jesus let this decent man walk away without telling him that your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you? I mean, we hear Jesus say that and do that over again with worse people in the scriptures, people whose lives were not as wholesome as this man's life was, and yet Jesus let this man walk away unsaved. But Jesus did try to save him. He told him the one thing that he still lacked in order to gain for himself the gift of heaven. In our text today, Jesus said, "Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." But the rich young man couldn't do it. He couldn't simply let go of everything that he had accumulated in his life. He couldn't walk away from the comfort and the security that his wealth offered him. He couldn't put his faith and trust solely in Jesus to provide for his earthly life and his heavenly life. And thus he walked away sad. And Jesus let him walk away. You see, God will not force himself on anyone. He desires that all people be saved. And to that end, he sent his son Jesus Christ, sent him in this world to suffer and die on a horrible cross, and then to rise from the dead, to overcome the grave as the payment for our sin and as our victor over sin and death. Forgiveness of sins and life everlasting was won by Jesus for all humankind, regardless of race or gender or moral purity. But the gift of forgiveness and life that Jesus won for us can only be received through faith. It's given as a gift only to those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and who trust in Him with their life. And this is the one thing that the rich young man just couldn't do. He could not entrust himself wholly and only into the hands of God. Which brings us to our big question for the day, the big question for us. What one thing do you still lack? What is it in your life that is preventing you from trusting wholly and only in Jesus for your life? I think, like the rich young man, for some of us, it might be our respective wealth, our 401k, our savings, our property, our IRA, our insurance and such, all those things that we find our financial security in to live out the rest of our days on this earth. Others of us may love our spouse or our children or our parents more than we love God, which Jesus told us makes us unworthy of Him. And still all of us may be prevented from being all in for Jesus because of all the commitments that we have elsewhere. And so many things that we have to do. Kind of like Martha when Jesus came to visit. And she had so many preparations that had to be made that she didn't have time for Jesus. Or the man who wanted to follow Jesus, but he wanted to go spend time with his dad first and wait till his dad died and then bury him. And then he would come follow Jesus. Over and over again in the Gospels, we encounter people who couldn't follow Jesus and turn their life over to Jesus because they still lacked one thing. Something that prevented them from simply surrendering themselves over to Jesus. And so I have to ask again, what is that one thing in your life that you still lack? Answer is nothing. You and I lack nothing. That's not to say that we're perfect. We are not. Far from it. Too often, our faith is shallow and our lives are hollow. But we lack nothing for salvation because Jesus is our everything. Psalm 34, verse 9 states, "Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing." Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient. His victory over the grave was sufficient. And finally, the grace that He supplies to us is sufficient. Sufficient to cover our sin. Sufficient to cover our weakness. Sufficient to cover whatever it is that you and I still of ourselves lack. Though our faith in Christ Jesus may still lack much from the kind of faith that God would want us to grow into, the kind of faith that can go and sell everything that we have and give it to the poor. Or the kind that loves God more than we love our family and friends. Yet God's grace is still sufficient to give even us the treasures of heaven. For as Jesus said today to his disciples in our text, all things are possible with God. No matter what it is that we of ourselves lack, God, through his grace, through his Son Jesus Christ, has made each of us to lack nothing. And thus all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen.